They want me to get rid of my dog. Can they do that?
I'm being fined for leaving my garage door open too long.
What are covenants? Do I have any rights?
Help, I feel like I've left the American zone.
If you want the answers to those questions, join me, Sue Bartholomew, and my guests on The Commons every Saturday from 2 to 3 right here on WBR Fairfax Radio. We'll ask the experts and we'll untangle the truth about what's left of our property rights.
On the Commons is a weekly radio show dedicated to discussing the many issues surrounding mandatory membership homeowners associations. Join us as we explore this relatively new world of controlled living, which includes condominiums, cooperatives, and both attached and detached single-family homes. Living in a common ownership development means giving up the American dream. It means giving up your constitutional rights and control over your most valuable asset, your home. Living in a homeowners association means leaving the American zone. This is On the Commons, and I am Sue Bartholomew.
Well, after a lot of wrangling and missed marks and missed all kinds of wonderful things, I am really thrilled and delighted to have my friend Jan Bergman, all the way from Florida, joining me today on the Commons and joining you on the Commons. In case you don't know who Jan is the founder and the president of the Florida-based CCFJ, which stands for Cyber Citizens for Justice. He's always doing all kinds of good stuff. And I understand that Florida has something like 128 pages of legislation, and he's gonna tell us all about it. Jan, thank you so much for making time to join us, and thank you so much for telling us what you guys are up to.
Well, Sue, thanks for having me. It's always fun to be on your show.
Yeah, it is always fun to be on my show. That's why I have such a hard time getting you.
Right. Well, I have to correct you in some way because
me?
You said 128 pages. Well, that's just a bill. You know, they passed more than one bill and more than 200 of pages of bills. So
that's just for HOAs
to discuss. So it's a lot of stuff, believe me.
That's just for HOAs, Jan?
That's community association, condos, and HOAs and co-ops.
So, well, let's get started so we can get through it.
Right.
All right.
Well, the main issue that passed the legislature actually is what you consider housekeeping. You know, clarification, little changes, but quite a lot of them are positive changes for owners.
Good.
You know, for example, I still have the opinion that fines are unconstitutional, but nevertheless, we have to deal with it. And in former times, the association attorney could already add attorney's fees to the threat of lien.
Yeah.
So you got a notice saying, look, you have to pay your fine, and since you didn't do it, you know, I charge you $400 to send you this damn letter, right?
Yeah.
No longer. They can't do that.
All right.
The notice of lien, first of all, has a 45-day notice time, to respond. And the notice of lien can't contain attorney fees anymore. So the owner has the opportunity to pay the fine without having added attorney fees and all kinds of other costs.
Well, that's good. You know, we've got to do away with fines, Jan. We've got to do away with fines, period. But this is a
we
step.
We sure do.
This is a step in the right direction.
Well, and you know, the thing is, people didn't know what to do. You know, first of all, they send the notice of lien, and with the postal service, you sometimes get this letter 5 business days later,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
That shortened already the time of you being able to respond. So Now they amended it to 45 days, which no matter how long the mail takes, you know, you still have more than a month to respond or to take the necessary action, either pay it or, you know, go after them with free pre-suit mediation or whatever.
I think, Jan, that they ought to, that the board, because they're the neighbors, right? They ought to go knock on the door and say, Jan, do you have a problem? Is there a problem? Can we work together on this? And hand you the note. I mean, all this nonsense about shipping shit all over the place, it's got to stop. I mean, if you're in a neighborhood, they call it a community, let's start acting like a damn community. Instead of saying, don't go there, they might
hit you. It's not a community.
It's not. No, I agree with you.
No. Look, this is what I have always said. You know, in former times, neighbors brought neighbors in need, you know, chicken soup and cookies and
yes.
all kinds of goodies.
Yes.
Now, they serve them with lawsuit liens and foreclosure notices.
But that's not personally. They send it through attorneys and they send it
right.
through the mail and they tape it to the door. And if you don't get it, that's just too bad.
Yeah, but you have to understand one thing. See, the people on boards are amateurs.
Yes.
You know, they're mostly not business people. They have no clue what they're doing. So they hire an association attorney. And the association attorney tells them, oh, no, don't even knock on the neighbor's door or talk to them. No,
yeah.
no, you can't do that. You endanger yourself and blah, 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 blah.
They might
so
shoot
let
you.
Let me take care of it, you know?
Yeah. That's because I want the money. They're not being
yes.
honest.
They're yeah,
not being
and then
honest.
They charge for letters between $300 and $500, just for a letter which the secretary writes on a computer, which is formatted prior. They only have to put in name, address, and the amount.
And hit the print button.
Yes, and then it's $400.
Yep.
You know,
nice work if you can get it.
Absolutely wrong. See, I think that fining is anyway unconstitutional. I think our U.S. Constitution is very clear about the fact that only government entities can fine citizens.
There's not just that. There's also the requirement for separation of powers, which in an
yeah,
NGO there's no separation
you,
at all.
Yeah, you remember Mickey Spillane?
Yeah.
District attorney, judge, jury, and executioner. You have all this in one...
Right.
In the board.
Right.
They can do all that. And it is often abused to get rid of unwanted owners who may ask for financial records or whatever. Because you wouldn't believe the notices of fines I've seen over the years. You know, from mold on the roof mm-hmm. to weeds in the front yard.
To dust know, on the mailbox.
Yeah, to the wrong color of the mailbox. And right. you just wouldn't believe it, you know.
Oh, I know.
It's such a nonsense. And what they do is, if they know that the election is upcoming and Florida law allows to reject candidates who are more than 90 days due in any kind of payment to the HOA. So what they do on day 93 before the election, they send the opponents violation letters.
I remember
and
that.
We charge you $1,000 for weeds in the front yard, right?
Right.
So now this candidate who wants to run against the sitting board has only two options. Either he pays the $1,000 or he can't be a candidate.
Right.
This is how you get rid of candidates before they even have the possibility to show up on the ballot.
Yeah.
You know, and then you call it a democracy and whatever.
Yep.
No. You know, homeowners associations are worse than bad dictatorships, believe me.
Oh, I know. Don't I know that? Anyway, excuse me. I'm having throat problems here. So what legislation, what proposed legislation is going to take care of this, Jan? Is it going to...
Well, it just removes the provisions that allows to levy fines, period.
So, but that's a bill. They cannot levy fines.
No, that's not in the bill, but that's what we actually need in order to stop this.
I agree, but is there anything in one of the current bills that would stop it?
No.
So, the
advantage condo associations have towards homeowners association, condo associations can't lien for unpaid fines. So they would have to sue in order to get the fine, which means they have to go to a court of law and show the judge that the violation they claim really occurred. In a homeowners association, you can fine the owner for all kinds of nonsense.
Yeah.
You know, then the owner says, are you nuts? I didn't do this, or this is not right, or you can't even violate me for doing this. According to our governing documents, the board says, well, we don't care. You are being fined. And if you don't pay it, they can even lien your property doing it.
Yeah.
You know, and that makes absolutely no sense. It's a dictatorial tool given to boards, boards who often don't know how to deal with the power they've been given.
Yeah, they don't know what, the boards don't know what they're doing. And, of course, they get their advice from the professionals, right? And the professionals make a whole lot of money by giving them god-awful advice and creating situations that they're going to get paid to fix or try to fix or whatever it is they're going to do with it. But they're
right. And you know, it's in all reality, this is nonsense, you know.
Jan, should CAI be allowed to write proposed legislation? Should they even be allowed in that? Or should this be up to the homeowners themselves? Except, God help us, I've seen some stuff, stuff.
You know, the CAI is a trade organization.
Yeah, I do.
And the members are all the bad guys working against the homeowners.
Yeah.
You know, so, but, you know, in this country, you know, our legislators are kind of willing to accept any money they can get.
Yeah. It's the oldest profession.
Trade organizations have a lot of money, which is, in this case, given to them by mostly attorneys and CAMs, but as well insurance companies and banks.
I know what a CAM is.
And developers, you know, but this money, it actually comes originally from the homeowners.
Jan, I know what a CAM is, but I don't know that all of our listeners do. So you want to tell us?
A CAM is a community association manager.
A manager. Okay. Thank you. Yeah.
That's the guy who in Florida here passed an 18-hour education course and then thinks he knows it all.
Well, he does.
Well, yeah, well.
He does. He knows it all.
You're right. That's what they claim. But,
he knows it all, yeah.
Jesus, yeah.
So, all right. So what else is on tap? I mean, you said there are a lot of... what I'm doing, Jan...
Right. They did a lot of clarification of notice... filing notice of meetings and special meetings and financial meetings and special assessment meetings. And is one big issue here in Florida that is, you know, the rental issues, you know, Airbnb and company,
okay,
you know, these short-term rentals. Where,
yeah, what about them?
Yeah, they kind of restrict them and now clearly allow associations to pass rules stopping this.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes. You know, they have to grandfather existing cases in, but if the property is sold, the new owner is out. You know, he's not grandfathered, he can't rent it out on short term anymore. So that's a pretty big step of protecting these community associations and the neighbors, because we had here cases, I mean, where here in Orlando, for example, in a very nice neighborhood, a couple rented out a home, you know, for the weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then they put on Facebook, hey, we're having a big party. Everybody is welcome.
Okay.
The community was... You couldn't drive through the community anymore because everything was full of cars. The noise was, in the end, the house was more or less destroyed, you know, and you wouldn't believe the chaos they created. I mean, it was worse than in Seattle.
Yeah. I had a hairdresser one day, and she rented out. She owned a house that she rented out, and she drove past it, and she thought, wow, there are a lot of cars there. And she went and did whatever she was doing. She was gone for a few hours. She came back. All those cars were still there. So she stopped, and she went and knocked on the door. And what they had done was they had rented, you know, it's not really an Airbnb, but they had rented out rooms. And they had so many people living there that the place was totally destroyed. And she had to get them evicted, and it cost her hundreds of thousands of dollars to repair the property.
Well, especially, you know, see, they always advertise homeowners association as protecting your property values, uh-huh, and protecting your rights and, you know, protecting you from all the bad things in the world around you and all kinds of stuff, right?
Right.
Well, these short-term renters, not all of them, but some of them, they come there to party, especially here in Florida.
Yeah.
You know, if there are beach houses and things like that.
Yeah.
And they bring a whole busload of people.
Yeah.
You know, and even if they say they rent it for only four people for the weekend and or for a week or whatever, you suddenly find 30 people in the house.
Yeah.
You know, and that is one thing that was really necessary, you know, to stop. And then for condos, there was as well a very important provision. We have here in Florida in recent years a lot of tax lawsuits, meaning the condominiums and the condominium owners challenge the amount the appraiser appraised for their property, meaning their tax is going up. And a lot of them were successful. And now the law allows the association to represent the owners if the owners, they have 30 days to tell to the association, yes, we want to be included in the tax lawsuit, which in former times was not really possible. And some people got involved in lawsuits they didn't want to get involved, and others were not included in the lawsuits they wanted to be involved. Now this is clarified, and I think it's a very good thing.
Is this just for condos?
Yes. Well, that's where it mostly happened, because, you know, in homeowners associations, you receive your own tax bill.
Yeah, you get, okay.
You know, for your own private home, which is deeded to you. You know, in the condo, you actually don't really own anything. You own air.
Right.
You know, you buy air, because even the walls are owned by the condominium association.
So the bill goes to the condominium association, but you can fight it.
Yeah, but you get as well private. The condo owner gets as well private tax bills, property tax bills. So he can fight it, but he couldn't be involved in the fight for the whole association.
So the condo owner gets to pay twice.
Yeah, sure. Well, that's the way it is. You know, and see, that was one big issue, because we really had a lot of tax lawsuits here about the amount of the appraiser estimated your property to be worth.
I'm not 100% sure on this, but I do know that there was a lawsuit here many, many, many years ago where they did away with one of the taxes for the property taxes for the county, because the county was charging twice, and one of the associations took them to court and said, "You can't do that, buddy," and they won. And the courts agreed with them, so now they can't charge double. I mean, they do the double taxation anyway, but they could not send a bill to the association and to the individual homeowner.
Well, but, you know, don't forget, in the homeowners association, you pay as well twice.
That's just...
You know, the association gets a tax bill for the common properties.
And that's right.
And you get a tax bill for your own private home.
And that went to court, and that stopped. We get it for the home, but I don't think the association gets it anymore, because it was included in our tax bill anyway. So we were paying our pro rata share in our tax bill, and then they were taxing the association, which we were paying. And somebody took it to court and said, no, 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 the judge agreed with them, so they can't do that anymore.
Well,
so, I mean, you have to stop. Jan, we have to put a
stop. Here they do,
stop.
But on the other hand, you know, here in Florida, you pay a lot less taxes than you do up there.
Oh, God, yes. We're taxed to death over here. Yeah.
Yes, and, you know, and it's all for kind of stupid things, because, you know, governments are wasting money up the yahoo, I tell you.
You breathed, you scratched, you owe us a tax now. I know.
Yeah, right.
It's got to stop. It's really got to stop.
Well, and then there is another thing which is pretty important for owners. You know, in community association, recalls and elections had to be filed with the arbitration section of the division.
Do you have an arbitration section now?
Yes. Well, we had for a long time.
And then didn't it go away?
Here's the problem. You know, in recent years, the complaints about these arbitrators grew immensely. Let's put nice and polite.
Yeah.
And, you know, they came up with rulings actually nobody could understand, you know, and they tried to read between the lines, and they read things that were not even there.
Yeah.
And then you go, you know, if an arbitration here in Florida can go after it to what's called a trial de novo.
Yeah.
And a lot of them went there. So now the legislator said, okay, you don't have to go to arbitration anymore. You have the choice. You can as well file in these cases in local court.
Okay.
I mean, I don't really know how this will end, but because here's the thing, you know, and that was really the problem we saw in the last few years. In the beginning, for example, when the recall provisions were added into the statutes, and, it normally took 4 weeks, sometimes five, if you were unlucky, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's 5 months. You know, they say, oh, we're totally overworked.
Yeah.
Well, you know, which I doubt, you know, if arbitrators can fill their Twitter pages with all kinds of stuff, which is not nice even, you know, then why don't they have time to do their job they get paid for?
Right.
You know, so now you can go immediately to court and, you know, file and get a decision. We'll see how the court does, but, you know, it's minimum an option which you can choose which one to take, where you rely on you get better service. Let's do it that way.
Well, the thing is, the arbitrator doesn't have to know anything about the law and just decides, well, I kind of like you better and you make a better argument. But if you're going in because you've got a legal issue and you go to arbitration, it just doesn't make any sense.
Here is the argument we heard a lot. You know, see, the arbitrators at the division are attorneys, are licensed attorneys.
Right.
Who get paid very little money. You know, $53,000 is not much money for a real attorney. You know, I know from friends that they pay their secretaries more. So more or less, getting hired by the division is the last job because it's obvious nobody else wants you. So what happens is, and that's the feeling many owners got, that these arbitrators kind of want to please these big law firms,
right,
in order to maybe get hired there for more money. You know, because believe me, in these law firms, there's no attorney paid only be $53,000 a year.
Right.
You know, so it seems that they handed out favors in order to be very nice. And, you know, we have seen arbitrators actually being hired by law firms.
Ah, so it works.
You know, so, heck. But, you know, who trusts the judicial system in the first place?
Well, I've heard that if you don't, I mean, you've got, this is going through the government, but if you go to an arbitrator, you hire an arbitrator, you pay your share, they pay their share, and it says, well, you get a choice as to who you get. The thing is, the arbitrator is going to be around for all of the cases, and they're going to go with they're going to find for the people who are likely to bring them more cases, more business. And so, yes, it's not that they're looking for a different job, but they are looking for more business. So again, it's not totally fair. It's not totally above board. And that's what the homeowners don't understand. They go, oh, I want to go to arbitration because I don't have to pay legal fees, blah, 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 blah. And it's hard to get them to understand that it's not what they think it is, that they can get into trouble.
Yeah, you know, you often get in this country the feeling that, you know, the law is being paid for, you know.
It is.
The one who has more money wins.
Right.
That's often the feeling you get because you very often see cases between owners and associations where the owners being forced to spend outrageous money until they run out of money and then more or less have to settle for peanuts in a case they would normally win big time.
Yeah.
You know, because they run out of money to pay their own attorney. And I know certain law firms work it that way. They file motion over motion with the court, motion being stupid or not, who cares? The owner's attorney has to answer. Meaning, you know, he has to charge his client even more money. You know, and for most owners, there is in the end a limit on how much money they can spend on a lawsuit. You know, when you're forced to pay for a lawsuit, $25,000 just for record requests, you know, hey, who wants to do that?
Yeah, no, that's just it. And they don't want to do that.
You know, and we have here, you know, in condo law, Julio Robina passed a bill that says that the condo division has to subpoena records if the owner can prove that he twice by certified mail demanded these records and the association refused them. So then the division shall subpoena, shall, right? Says no.
Mm-hmm.
The division says, oh, no, that's not what it means, you know. We have the right, and we don't feel like it.
Yeah,
this is a problem when you have government agencies who are not following the law.
That's right.
You know, and you only see that too often.
Yep.
You know, and that's a shame. But, there's a lot of stuff, like I said, housekeeping, you know, record requests. And funds and reserve funds. And, we have everything, including the interpretation of all these bills, on our website.
Okay.
And anybody who is really interested in reading the full extent of these new laws, has to go there because, we would need an 8-hour show just to talk about every little provision.
Okay,
most of them are not really interesting to discuss.
Okay, give us your website.
It's ccfj.net.
ccfj.net, guys.
Right, and there you press on the homepage, you go to legislative session.
So is there anything else that's of any particular interest?
Not really. You know, it's a lot to read and a lot of changes. And, you know, the word shall was changed into may or vice versa. You know, these kind of stuff. That was about the only things that really was important and was really creating real changes, you know, important changes for owners. Otherwise, it's all a little here and a little there, and, you know, this document is no longer a public document, but this document certainly is. You know, they, as you can imagine, they dealt again with emergency powers because of the Chinese virus. And, that's all about it, you know, because, see, in my opinion, many associations used this pandemic to be even more dictatorial than normal.
Give us an example.
You know, they didn't hold meetings, they didn't hold elections, in one case they even refused to hold a recall meeting, which they were clearly obligated to do, and actually the owners in the end won the recall, but still, you know, it took time and money. And, we still have here in Florida where actually everything is open. and you know, you go into stores and barely anybody wears a mask anymore or something like that. More or less, it's up to people if they want to wear a mask or not. Yeah. And all restaurants are open, and, you know, even Disney opened again full. And, you know, but there are still boards who claim on advice of their attorneys they still don't open the pool. You know, don't forget, the legislators passed an anti-liability law, meaning nobody can sue you for catching the virus on your premises.
Well, how do you prove it? I mean, this is...
You can't prove it anyway.
That's right.
This is baloney from start to... Because, you know, if it takes only a day before you realize you got it, you know, then you can say, oh, yesterday I was only at Publix or I was only in this restaurant or something like that, right?
Right.
But if there is 8 to 10 days, you know, hey, you can have been everywhere.
Well, I know. I mean, that is so ridiculous. I agree with you. It's totally ridiculous. It's totally
you know,
ridiculous.
And nevertheless, you know, in Tampa, owners are recalling a board that refuses to open the pool.
Really?
Oh, yes.
So are they still, I mean, can they, must be holding meetings. You don't have to do it in person. You can do it on Zoom. So many meetings are taking place online.
Well, quite a lot. But, you know, in one case, for example, they noticed the meeting, you know, at the bulletin board at the entrance of the community. But guess what?
What?
They forgot to give the people the access code to the Zoom meeting on purpose. Right? So, oh, well, we noticed the meeting, and if you didn't participate, that's your damn fault. Well, we couldn't because you didn't tell us the access code, which we need in order to participate, do we? Right?
They should email it to each person.
You wouldn't believe the stories I heard in the last year. You know, if it wouldn't be so sad, it would be considered funny.
Yeah, you know, those types of games are ridiculous. They should email it to them, because if you find a Zoom link on the bulletin board at the entrance to the association, you're not going to be able to click on it and get in. So
no,
especially
if not even the notice on the bulletin board tells you the access code.
That's ridiculous. That's absolutely insane.
But then we held an election meeting and there was no forum present, so we couldn't hold an election meeting, you know. So the old board is the new board. Hello. You know, that's the kind of cases you were dealing with.
That's pretty rampant.
Yeah.
Getting a lot of that.
Oh,
I didn't think we had
that much. And they always say, oh, we acted on advice of our attorney. But, you know, funny enough,
no attorney,
they are not willing to get you that in writing.
I want the attorney, and I want the attorney to tell me that.
Right, but see, they say, oh, no, we talked with the attorney by phone, and he told us so, you know. But then when you contact the attorney, you get told, oh, you're not allowed to contact the attorney. You know, and, you know, it's ridiculous. It's all a game.
Is there anything in all of this legislation that would prevent that sort of thing from happening?
Well, there is kind of clarification. But, you know, the problem is always what you want to do about it. Right? Because the board violates the law, clearly violates the law. Right?
Right.
Okay. In a homeowners association here in Florida, you first have to file for pre-suit mediation, which costs you possibly $300-$400 if you go by yourself and tell them shortly, you know, you're full of it, and, you know, we go to court. You know, it's moot. But then if you have one of these so-called fancy attorneys, you know, you have to spend $20,000 or $30,000 before you even get in the courtroom.
Yeah.
So who wants to spend that money? I can tell you, if you go to Naples, for example, where all the rich people live, you have a lot of lawsuits because they all have the money to fight each other.
That's a nice community, right?
Yeah, but why? It's not so nice because who wants to live in a community that is full of lawsuits?
Yeah. Jeez, that's silly.
You know, it's ridiculous if you see it. You know, it's not even funny. And you know why I said, you know, most of the issues and the topics discussed in these enrolled bills is only housekeeping was the fact that our legislators more or less passed bills as filed. And that had a reason, because they didn't spend much time on discussing the bills in committees. And I can tell you why. They were busy here in Florida, which is Republican run with a supermajority of Republicans in House and Senate and the cabinet, including the governor. They were busy more or less working on bills to defend the stuff that comes from the Biden government. You know, election laws. We have anti-riot laws, we have big tech laws, we have no liability laws. These were all laws filed in response to the nonsense coming from Washington.
Yeah, was it you who told me or someone else who said we're spending all our time trying to defend ourselves from the laws that come from Washington?
That's exactly what happened in Tallahassee. And that's why they didn't have much time to really deal. You know, normally the bills are being filed in January for our legislative session. You know, despite the size of Florida, we only have a 60-day session here, which in my opinion is too short, because quite a lot of bills die in committees because they just run out of time. Not because they're bad or whatever, they just run out of time. And now, having to deal with all this stuff, you know, the time of the legislators was even more limited. And normally, when these bills are filed, you're able to add amendments, to change things, to add some new stuff, and you know, stuff like that. This year, it was just, hey, look, we just don't have time.
Yeah.
You know, and they even didn't get everything done. You know, they had a special session for a few days, you know, to allow the casino bill with the Indians. You know, because they didn't get it done in the regular session. You know, and I think in order to do it in a state like Florida, where you have, you know, give or take 18 million people, you know, I think you need a longer session. You know, you have 120 House representatives, you have 40 senators. You know, it's already difficult to get them all under one roof. You know, but doing that in 60 days and dealing with all kinds of sometimes complicated bills, it's, in my opinion, not possible.
I think you need one bill that says, mind your own business and stay out of your neighbors.
That would be nice.
And stay out of everybody else's business, and that's it, period.
Yeah, but you see, the problem is in the moment, you know, you have a lot of nonsense coming from Washington.
Yeah.
So you have to defend yourself.
So you just tell Washington to go to hell, and you just
You know, my suggestion would be, you know, close the border for Florida.
You know what? I agree with you. Listen, we got a little time here, but I want to get to this before we do the time, you know, before we run out. But I did read this morning, and you kind of mentioned it before we started recording, that your governor, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, filed a bill, or no, he didn't, he just...
He signed it into law yesterday.
He signed it into law. Talk about it. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, it was Senate Bill 772. You see already that's a special bill by the number, you know, because it starts with a 7, it's something special.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
It deals with what you call big tech. You know, Microsoft. Yeah. Microsoft actually titled it the anti-big tech bill. You know, I signed it for the pro First Amendment rights bill because it more or less stops big tech from, you know, kind of deleting Florida politicians from their websites, you know, like Facebook or Twitter or so on.
Yeah.
And even candidates. So it's not anymore, oh, you're a Republican, we don't like you anyway, you're done, you're gone.
Oh, it's only for politicians, it's not for everybody.
Yeah, but even single people now can sue them.
Okay.
So if for example, they don't like my Twitter stuff, I'm not on Twitter and I'm not on Facebook, because I consider this whole thing not social media, I consider them anti-social media.
Right.
And they would kick me out for whatever reason. I could sue them. Which opens the door for a lot of liability for these big tech companies. And I think it's right, because it should be equal rights for everybody.
Well, I think what I read was that these platforms have become our public squares, which means that, you know, it's like if you go to the beach, and you hang around and you want to talk to people, it's, you know, the First Amendment applies. You've got free speech. If I don't like what you say, I can walk away from you. I can tell you you're full of it. I can give you the opposite view. But to deplatform you is just insane. And
you possibly know this famous Speaker's Corner in Hyde Park in London.
Absolutely, absolutely. They stand
right. You could put on your little podium and you can talk about everything and then some whatever you feel is right or wrong or whatever.
Absolutely.
You know, and nobody can do anything about it.
Absolutely. You get your
and I think if they want to call it social media, you would have to have the same rights there. Well, and it's not up to some nonsense people from Silicon Valley to decide if what you're saying is right or wrong.
You know, people will post something on Facebook. I'm on Facebook, and I like it for a couple of reasons, although I haven't been on there as much, and I'm getting off it, but... One of the things is that it gives you a platform. It helps you reach out to people.
Yes, it does. But it did a lot before they started, you know, banning people.
Yes.
And removing posts you posted.
Yes. And that's what I was getting ready to say. People have posted things to let others know. It's sort of a form of warning that, you know, this is what's happening. I'm this, I'm that, and here's what's happening. And people in HOAs have their own platforms there, and, you know, they can let you know what's going on. And it's a...
Yeah, but be careful, Yishu. We had this problem here. Most of these Facebook pages... are monitored by the board, or the more or less the board is the owner of the Facebook page.
Some of them are, yes.
Yes, and you know, we saw that they deleted unwanted posts from owners.
They can delete unwanted posts on their website, on their pages,
yes.
But I have my own website, and
right.
But people have said, quickly read this before it's deleted. People send me stuff, and they say, read it quickly before it's deleted. I think that's a little bit scary. Now, I've argued with people on Facebook, and they say, the Constitution doesn't apply here. There's no First Amendment because this is not government. It only applies to the government. There was, and I had Frank Askin on. Frank Askin's a professor in New Jersey, and he's the one who had his constitutional law clinic with his students who actually did a lot of the litigating. One of the cases he litigated had to do with, it's a condo or, I can't remember, a private property who allowed the local government to actually hold elections there. And then they decided that, and, you know, it was open and they advertised it and people went and all, you know, everything was set up there to vote. But they would not allow people who had, you know, the opposite party. So if they were Democrats, they would not allow the Republicans to put out any Republican pamphlets or put out signs. So it was, oh, this is private. You can't do it. No First Amendment rights go over here. It ended up in court. And I had Frank on. Frank came on the show, you know, many years ago. And he talked about this case, and I don't remember the name of the case. But what the court said was that it stepped into the shoes of the public square, and therefore it had to act as the public square. Since it invited everyone to come in and use it to vote, then it had to provide the same guidelines, the same protections, the same everything
right.
that the public square did, since it was acting as the public square. I argued with a lot of people on Facebook. They said, it's not there, it's private. But no, it's acting as. And that's pretty much what DeSantis said, that it is acting, it's become our public square, and therefore you ought to be able to use it as such. And I
sure, and you know, that's the same in small, in community associations, you know. Everybody should have the right to say whatever they want to say. I mean,
agree.
It can't be aggressive and it can't be, you know, I'm going to kill you.
Yeah, no, I agree.
But you know, normal posts which are not even littered with offensive language and name-calling, you know, it should be accepted no matter on which side of the aisle you stand and how you feel about it.
No, I absolutely, completely agree with you, Jan. Completely agree with you.
You know, and I have to say one thing. I think this so-called social media allows often anonymous people who hide behind some fancy, stupid names.
Yeah, no, I agree.
To post very offensive things, you know. And, well, funny enough, that seems to be okay with Facebook and Twitter. You know, even if the guy calls you all kinds of names, nobody deletes that. You know, but, you know, the thing is, you know, let people have their say.
I agree.
You know, it's called We the People.
Absolutely. Absolutely, it is called We the People, and you know, we're almost out of time. We got 1 minute.
Okay, well, was fun talking to you, as usual, and let's see what's coming out of it. There will be more, believe me.
There will be more, huh?
Yeah, there
this
will
year?
Be more.
This year?
And
Jan, this year?
Is one, I don't know this year, but yes, I think so, because, you know, our legislator is kind of aiming at killing any stupidity that comes from Washington, and they're good at it.
I'll send you Washington. You can kill it.
No. Keep it there. Keep it there, please. You know, we're quite far away from them. And, you know, they should build a wall around Washington and keep all these
they
government
did.
People in there.
They did.
You know, and so they can't bother us.
They did build a wall around it. They didn't want to build the wall down where it was being built. They built it around Washington.
Yeah, because everybody is allowed to cross the Rio Grande. You know, you even get a ticket then to the city of your choice.
Jan, thank you so much. If you've got more interesting stuff, please come back
okay.
and share it with us, okay?
Yeah, all right.
Okay.
Thanks for having me.
Thank
take
you.
Care, Sue.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Please check out our website at onthecommons.us. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Now there's lots of open meetings close to justice for HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet, the writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Well, we're not afraid or stupid, all your threats mean nothing here. Time marches on, soon you'll be gone, united we'll be there. So put your rules and CCRs up where the sun don't shine, and enjoy those precious golden years, stop messing around with mine. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.